Well, g'day and welcome back to another episode of the StoneX Australian Cattle and Beef Market Report. My name is Ripley Atkinson. I'm the Australian Meats and Livestock Manager for StoneX based in Sydney, where we're developing price risk management tools for the Australian livestock industry to help the sector manage market and price volatility with our Australian feeder cattle forward contract. We're brought to you by StoneX Group, a NASDAQ-listed global financial services network with 100 years of experience in global commodity markets. Remember that the trading of derivatives, such as futures, options, and over-the-counter products or swaps, may not be suitable for all investors. Derivatives trading involves substantial risk of loss, and you should fully understand the risks prior to trading. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future results. Well, welcome back. Today, we're on for a look at some markets. Two episodes ago, it was the first episode that came out in the month of May. And on that episode, I said this month would prove to be season defining in terms of how the market would perform through the winter months. And it would answer a few questions I had about the market, particularly in relation to influence from the south in the north, which I think has been solidified in the last 2 weeks. And then how seasonal conditions would then shape that demand as well. We've really seen some of those questions answered. And today, the intention of this episode is to get into the drivers and the factors which are underpinning the market's rally we've seen really since late April. But before I do that, I want to acknowledge a situation from last episode where I think I've missed a bit of a trick in terms of how I analysed and considered the influence of grain-fed cattle turnoff. And having since thought about that analysis and what I shared on the podcast, I think that I haven't probably fully acknowledged the influence that the rush to get cattle out of feedlots and into the China market really had on the first quarter of turnoff. So if you haven't listened to the episode, go back and do so. But I mentioned a few times that structural shift towards grain-fed cattle being prioritised by processors. Now, yes, that's true, but I think what's also true is this rush to get cattle out the door to hit China in the first quarter of this year was real, and that really did push grain-fed turnoff above a million head for the first time, as a lot of supply chains and export businesses had to readjust schedules to make sure that they captured the most value out of those carcasses they had coming forwards. And obviously to do that was to get that product into China. Now, I think time will tell as this year progresses whether we do in fact see that share of grain-fed slaughter remain quite high, or this first quarter really was a blip driven by that China rush. There is the potential though to see a similar sort of rush in quarter four calendar year of this year or quarter one calendar year 27 as exporters and brands try and manage where they see quota limits and how quickly they might be filled. And there may be some adjustments on, or feeding programs, I should say, for cattle to be moved out of feedlots faster than initially expected to try and then get them into that China market prior 2027 safeguard limit being hit. And the likelihood of that being hit will be probably a fair bit earlier in 27 than it was this year. So just want to acknowledge I probably jumped the gun a bit about that structural prioritisation. I still believe it's true and I think it's certainly happening, but I don't think I acknowledged enough the influence of China in that heightened turnoff for the first quarter of this year. But getting into May, it's typically the most pivotal month in terms of market direction, supply of any calendar year. And for a number of reasons, this year's been a little different, but it's also been quite similar. So as I mentioned at the start of the episode, I suggested this month would be really crucial. It would really answer a few things for me in terms of supply dynamics, demand, those types of situations which could influence ultimately the underlying price. And going off the last 3 weeks of market performance, May really has been quite defining. Markets rallied sharply right across the board, sale yards, directs, and online platforms. Results have been really, really strong. Breaking down some of those numbers, restocker steers, these are all sale yard figures, restocker steers have lifted nearly 20% or 75 cents Process of cows up 30% or 85 cents. Feeder steers up 13% or 55 cents. Heifers up, feeder heifers that is up 20% or 76 cents. Grids for feeder cattle lifted anywhere from sort of 5 to 10%, 15 to 35 cents. So right across the board, those results there ranging from sort of 5% rally to 30% rally. So been some really significant lifts in price. Now that's not down to one thing, it's a down to a combination of factors, and that's what I want to discuss today. But before I do, I think it's also important to acknowledge the dynamics around supply. Traditionally, you see May as the biggest month on a sale yard yardings perspective generally, and also for the likes of slaughter. Now, we probably will see it quite large on the slaughter front, but from a supply perspective elsewhere in the yards and general direct movements of cattle, it's been down a little. Now, a lot of that has to do with northern New South Wales, because cattle were offloaded out of those regions earlier than traditionally would be expected. A lot of cattle moved sooner. And we saw that in results through sort of March, April in sale yard yardings in those regions being really strong. And those cattle were pushed onto market or out of the region completely during that period. So despite the fact that a lot of them were probably likely to go in May, seasonal conditions dictated that they had to go early. The likes of PDIC cows from a spring joining in 25 is a good example. And we saw those numbers flow through in the first quarter of female kill rates, which I mentioned on the last episode as well. So there's been a bit of an adjustment, not just in the month of May from a price perspective, but also in the month of May from a supply dynamic and stock being pulled forward to be sold earlier for seasonality reasons, or also on top of that for pricing reasons as well, when producers chose to exit because seasonal conditions were encouraging that, but markets also encouraged them too. As I mentioned, never just one factor which has driven this rally in prices. So as I mentioned, right across the board, anywhere from 5% to a 30% increase within the space of 4 weeks on most cattle categories right across the East Coast and nationally for that matter. But there's a multitude of things here that are going on which are combining to drive this this market performance. As I was just talking about northern New South Wales, I don't think you can underestimate the influence that rain has had on lifting confidence and the dynamics what the rain's done to dynamics around market sentiment for producers in those regions, and then also supply availability as well. I think a good way to look at how this market has reacted to rainfall in regions that have really needed it is consider late 2023, post the market crash in about November, and then consider sort of Jan, Feb, March of 2020. Both of those periods were when northern New South Wales was coming out of either dry or drought conditions, and cattle prices lifted substantially really quickly. And what we're seeing at the minute is the same sort of outcome. Now, I'm not suggesting those producers are entirely out of the woods yet. There's a bit of a way to go, particularly coming into winter. Winter's going to be challenging for a lot of people up in those areas because of the lack of grass leading into that season. But my point is, generally, when northern New South Wales gets rain, it really can support a sharp uptick and rise in cattle prices in a very short amount of time. And we're seeing that play out at the minute. And rain in those regions, particularly over the last fortnight, has been better than what a lot of them have received for the whole year. So a good indication of just a reminder of the role that area plays in market performance, but also what I'll get into now is the combination of 4 to 5 different things all happening at once, which are really driving market performance. And they are rain and seasonal conditions, number one. Number two is southern buying competition in central and northern markets across the broader east. Number three is the shortness of cattle supply. And number four is simply the fact that our buying fraternity, feedlotters and processors, have additional capacity, which means they need more supply. Now, that's in no particular order. Seasonal conditions, southern buying competition, shortness of cattle supply, and an expanded buying fraternity or expanded need for supply. That's not in any order. That's just a fact that those four things have all combined at once across this month to drive prices the way they've moved. Beginning with rain, though, that began with an autumn break, genuine autumn break, across the broader south in the first week of May. That was really important for those areas to sort of start to get on their feet. And then when we start to move further north, rainfall basically from Mount Gambier to Roma has seen all of those regions receive anywhere from sort of 25 mils to 200 mils or 8 inches west of the Great Divide. So that's really significant, clearly. And the rain in the past 4 weeks has been a game changer for a lot of places, but also it's just inspired some confidence and improved people's outlooks on markets following a difficult period, particularly that central eastern region I talk about regularly. The rain they've received in those areas, but also importantly down south, which has been looking for its autumn break. It's now got one, and that season is starting to gradually recover. These rain events right across large tracts of the east coast or the eastern seaboard have been really important. And fundamentally, that rain is the underpinning factor which then sets in motion these other drivers or contributors to market performance. And that brings us to southern buying demand. So as I mentioned, the first week of May, the south had a pretty genuine widespread autumn break. That immediately allowed those producers to consider shortening up sale cattle following some rain and sort of the establishment of that southern season for them. And that immediately had to encourage the southerners to act with a bit more vigour and competition in northern markets because they knew the southern supply was going to shorten up quite quickly. And this is across direct channels and sale yards, but those southern feedlots and processors really did have to then up their game in northern markets to secure supply. And this really is driven by supply situation. That additional competition from the south is ultimately about maintaining and optimizing the utilization of the assets they run, be that feedlots or processing plants, and making sure they're kept full so that the asset is working efficiently. You can't go without acknowledging southern producers chasing trade cattle in northern markets. Their presence was really heavily felt, you know, throughout northern New South Wales when a lot of those cattle were being sold sort of March, April. So they've had a role to play as well. What's picked up the light cattle or the restocker side is confidence, and the buy side's really driven by a multitude of things. But the feedlotters and processors from the south in the north was really off the back of that autumn break that really forced them to compete harder, which basically means pay up to secure stock and supply and get them back to their facilities so that they're operating efficiently. I think it's also reasonable and entirely plausible to see southern buyers remain in northern markets until sort of spring, September, when crop cattle start to move again. There's no real reason to suggest otherwise, and it's not as if there's going to be a lot of cattle available out of their local sort of buying areas to support or encourage the need for them to move away from northern markets. Which brings us to shortness of cattle supply. I mentioned the south. We know that there's not a lot of stock left down there, but I think when you look at northern New South Wales as an example, it's usually reasonably reliable in terms of supply preceding winter, which is the month of May. But as I mentioned, that's not the case this year because so many cattle were either sold as weaners, moved on adjustment, or sold at lighter weights earlier. There's just not the supply there now. So feedlots have been dealing with that for a little bit, particularly on the likes of sort of your British Cross and Angus cattle. That's proved to be a little challenging. And then if you go into regions like sort of southern to central Queensland, some producers moved early when markets were good at the back end of 25 and sold cattle earlier than what they typically would. And then others have been delayed in selling numbers this year because of the strength of their wet season, so haven't been able to commence their annual mustering programs. The combination of a lack of supply in northern New South Wales and southern Queensland because cattle were sold early, maybe a lack of sort of saleable weight cattle in that central region in Queensland, and then simply the fact that producers and musterers haven't been able to get going in the far north because it's been too wet. The combination of all those things has sort of caught the buy side a little short on supply. And when you add in rain, when logistics and transport and accessibility become an issue, that just exacerbates the problem. And then you add in southern demand or southern feedlotters and processors competing for the same cattle. That's just another demand driver to push competition. You can see how each of those things are being fundamentally underpinned by seasonal conditions and rain, and how that adjusts buying behavior in different patterns, which ultimately has led us to this market rising at a rapid rate. But I think the other thing to acknowledge too is we've simply got a bigger system, and that this is the fourth point of what's contributing, in my belief, to this rally in the market is capacity in the feedlot system, the largest it's ever been. Weekly kill numbers in the processing sector, the largest they've been in a very long time. Our sectors on the buy side has grown. The supply chain has grown, which means it can absorb more numbers. And ultimately what that means is they all need to compete more to secure those numbers. We've just got a bigger system that can handle more cattle, so there's ultimately more demand. And that's not isolated to just Queensland and northern New South Wales. That's from, you know, Western Victoria, Southeast South Australia, right through to Central Queensland. A lot of places and processors have invested in their facilities or been able to increase shifts on the back or following coming out of COVID as they recovered. People have invested in pen space right across the eastern seaboard. There's a multitude of factors at play there, which simply means we've got a bigger system, which means more supply is needed. And as all the system grows, or the whole pie grows, even despite the herd being large as it is, the system has nearly grown more, you could argue. What I've tried to sort of explain there is it's never just the one theme or driver. There's a combination of reasons why this market has lifted so substantially in such a short amount of time. But I think it's also important to acknowledge, and I sort of mentioned it a little moment ago, is ultimately when we do boil it down, it is underpinned by seasonal conditions and rain, basically. These weather events across the month have set off or set in motion all these other dominoes to tip over, if you will. And that is a good reminder that rain and seasonal conditions ultimately are the driver of market performance. We saw the market ease in March and April, driven by a lack of rain, and now we're seeing the reverse of that driven by rain. So I think it's a good indication of how rain and weather underpin it all, but there's never just one theme or driver acting alone. It's always a combination. Moving forwards or looking ahead, I think the question I'm interested in, it's something for another episode, but the question I've got is how long can the northern herd and the Queensland herd sustain supply for three other states on top of its own supply? And what I mean by that is how can the north continue to supply Queensland, New South Wales, Victoria and South Australia? At the minute, with how fertile the cow herd is and the reasons for that I've discussed at length on this podcast, I think it'll be all right and I think it'll manage, but there will be longer term implications for Queensland doing so much of the heavy lifting on the supply side. I think that's a topic and a discussion for another episode. That's all for this week, but next time the April 26 wave of the Beef Producer Intentions Survey will have been released, I'm going to get into those results. It's a really important barometer, that report, for how producers are feeling. It comes directly from producers on topics like where they intend to increase or decrease the herd, how they're feeling, what's influencing increasing or decreasing intentions, their confidence levels, things like that. So a really important piece of data I'll look forward to getting into. So we'll get onto that in the next episode. But if today's or any others have raised any questions, reach out and send me an email to ripley.atkinson@stonex.com or record a voice note of yourself, where you're from and the question, and we'll get to answering it in the next episode. Feel free to share this with your mates and anyone interested, anyone you know that might be interested. And if you are enjoying it, follow it or review it on your listening platform. Thank you for listening. And until next time, take care. Cheers.